Clack, clack, what's happening, y'all? Mitchy Slick and Exotic Pop, they teamed up. Killer Collabo, Cherry Lime Punch. Available at all the active spots in Southeast, you already know. Green Cat Liquor, Par Liquor, and Mike's Liquor. Listen, y'all, if you don't got expensive taste, this might not be for you, man. My shit costs a lot, man, but this shit fire. Mix it with all your favorite drinks. You already know, you got it right here. Cherry Lime Punch, Mitchy Slick, Exotic Pop. Catch me in the streets, yeah, that.
When they true to the man and not to the code, they notice the dedication to start to corrode. I wish I would have noticed before it started to unfold. Just think if I would have got blurt when them times that I wrote.
Yo, it's definitely Cloud Chaser TV, man. We back to finish thing again, you dig? Hey, man, we got some news to report. Feel me? We gonna get to it when it comes down to OG, a legend. Feel me?
Right.
Yo, feel me, let these people know your name and where you exactly from.
I'm from West California. My name Kevin. You know they call me Big Stretch.
Got you. Well, and like, you know. Yeah, so you like.
Nickerson Garden, huh?
So you out the project, Nickerson Gardens. I got you. So like, man, tell us a little bit about your upbringing. You know what I'm saying? Was it the 80s or the 70s?
I'm a 70s baby, man. I was born in 1970, to be exact. I'm 51 years old.
Got you. So like, when it came down to it, like when it, you know, you coming from being the 70s babies and you going into the 80s, like, shit, what it was like, family?
You know, the 80s was a different time. It was a different time. It was crazy, but it was a little more, it was way different. You know, growing up in the 80s, you know, gangbangers was totally different. The streets, you know, the neighborhoods, you know, everything was a lot different. Amongst the older blacks, there was a lot of more unity, but the gang banging was a lot different. You know, we had to go to school in certain areas. We all had to use the same school, you know, different sections, you know, different projects. We all had to go to this certain, you know, school together. So, you know, it was like almost like a war zone, you know, it was melees and, you know, it was crazy. It was off the chain.
So when you come in, like you coming from that type of environment, like what age did you actually like had to jump off the porch or like, you know what I'm saying? Like the means was, it was necessary.
It's crazy. I was talking to my brother today about this. You know what I'm saying? I jumped off the porch young. You know what I mean? Actually, going up in Watts, it's right there. You know what I'm saying? You ain't got to get off the porch. It's right there. But I jumped off the porch, you know, elementary, really. You know, had to. I grew up in the projects. You know, I had to fight bullies. I'm the oldest of two brothers. I have two younger brothers. So, you know, I had to protect them. You know what I'm saying? And fighting bullies and growing up in the projects, you know, getting chased home and, you know what I'm saying? And your mama telling you, nigga, you don't run, you better fight. You know? My mom be like, which one you had a problem with? I ran home one day. It seemed like the whole school was chasing me. You know what I'm saying? I was supposed to fight one cat. I looked up, there's a whole bunch of people. When I got to the house, my mama said, actually, I was running to the door, bro. And she looked out the window because I was yelling my mama's name. Like 30, 40 kids behind me. Most of them were spectators. And my mama looked out the window, she opened the door, and she closed the door. So I thought she unlocked it. When I got to the door, it was locked. And I'm like, that feeling at that moment, I didn't know what to think. You know what I'm saying? Honestly, I thought my mama just was like, I didn't know what was up. I'm like, dumb. And I turned around and, you know, faced the music. I'm standing on my project unit, and I'm looking at 20, 30 kids, you know what I'm saying? And they laughing. Your mama left. When she didn't leave, she locked the door, and she came around the front, without the front door, and came around. And when she came around, she said, I ain't raised no punk. Which one of them you got a problem with? I pointed him out. She said, whoop his ass. And I whooped his ass. After that, I didn't have no more problems, you know what I mean, as far as that was concerned. But I still had to fight bullies every day, you know. You fighting the dudes who got 4, 5, 6, 7 big brothers. And, you know, it was a different player field, man. Game banging and all, like, you know. You didn't even have to game bang to be accused, you know what I'm saying?
No, no doubt.
If you lived
on
one side of the projects, or you lived on one side of the street, and that neighborhood was that, the kids from another neighborhood gonna consider you a part of that. So peer pressure was real heavy back then. You know, it still is today, but it was real heavy. You know, and then it was like, you had no choice anyway. I'm going home, even if I didn't game bang, I'm walking home to the kids that live where I live, and here come the other gang, and they chasing us. They're not going to say, oh, they're going to get you too. You sitting in class, and dudes used to come, you know, the other gang, the opposite gangs come, and they're looking in the classrooms. And they'll be looking in the classrooms, and, you know, like peeking through the windows, like, who, you know, see if it's, you know, opposition's up in there. And if they see something, which I've been in there, and we had homies that came to the, you know, hey, they coming, and we running out the classroom, you know what I'm saying? But teaching was a lot different too, you know. School, they're passing, they didn't care if you did the work or not. There was really no help from the teachers. As like, if you was getting jumped by some gang members or anything like that, they didn't get involved, they didn't call security, they just switched to be just looking. You know, and I not only witnessed that, I was, you know, a part of that. I came out of class one day for a break, and about 6, 7 gang members, you know, from the other side came, they jumped me. You know, I'm fighting back with, you know, 6, 7 guys. Teacher didn't do nothing. We went right back in the class and sat down, bust the lip, and continued school. So it was a lot different back then, you know?
Yeah, no doubt. So, like, you know, with the influence of music, like, was music heavy in the influence in your neighborhood, even with all this going on?
Yeah, music was, you know, I grew up on music, you know, our parents, you know, they played all the oldies and, you know, stuff like that. But later in the years, you know, my brother and them got in the rap game. You know, actually, my brother did the first Banging on Wax, Power of Love and all of that, you know. I had a brother that was on the Crip side. And so I grew up around a lot of music. You know, my brother was signed with Def Row. Music touched the soul.
What was your brother's name, man? What was your brother's name? Let him know.
My brother name K. Lil Scratch. Call him yes, sir. Yes, sir. Young Soldiers. Big Wide, the Relatives, Sugar Booger. You know, my brother and them, they was all, you know, did all of that together. You know, it was a team, you know. They just got in the studio and they did their stuff. Signed with Death Row. You know, I knew Sug personally. My brother and them signed on contracts. They were with Death Row. You know, I've been around my brother with Suge, Pac. I know Suge, like I said, personally. You know, I got a lot of stories about him and I. But you know, like, blacks were a lot different back then in the 80s and 70s and 80s. You know, and maybe the little bit of the early 90s. You know, the gang members had more morals, I could say, even though, you know, it's maybe, you know, not the word to use in a sense, but when it came to that, you know, the youngsters today, they don't have, it's like no respect.
Right. So, like, when it came down to it, so, like you said, even Suge was going around. A lot of people say, like, Suge was Bogarting around that time, like, you know, when it came to, like, Bad Boy, you know, and other record labels, like, Was that something that was going on the West?
yeah, you know, Suge was, you know, he was a model. Suge was a true businessman. So it's kind of, you know, Petty brought up, so I might as well go ahead and tell the story because it's facts. I met Suge in 1993. I just got out of prison. So did my homeboy, rest in peace now, OG Big Green Eyes. And we got a phone call because, you know, Harry-O was the one that gave Suge that money to start Death Row.
Right.
And he used to be denying that. But it was facts. So Harry-O sent one of the homies, you know, was getting out and told him, go hook up with me and Big Green Eyes and get with Suge about getting his money. So a lot of dudes used to go down there and try to get this money for Suge, you know, Ozone Cats and some of his partners at the bottoms. But at the time, Suge had a lot of real gangsters around him, surrounding him as far as security. You know what I'm saying? And most of them was Compton Pie Rules, you know what I'm saying? And a lot of them was my homies. They rest in peace. It's crazy. You know, a lot of people got killed around this dude and stuff, you know. Hi-Ron, rest in peace. That was my partner, Bunchy Al. You know, actually, these are the names that Pac missing on the CD. But to make a long story short, in 93, me and my homie Green Eyes and two more people, we went to, it was four of us, went to Interscope Records. It's 1993 when Silk was doing all this. He wasn't sending Harry on no money. He wasn't hearing nothing from nobody. He was, you know, like you said, bullying. Three of my homies walked up at Interscope Records, facts, no guns. I knew who Suge was, didn't know what he looked like. And I was not told that this is who we going to holler at, but we was told that I'm gonna show you this guy and I want y'all to bring him back to me. And y'all can pay for it, that's it. Easy call. We walk up at Interscope, we standing around, you know, white people looking at us and stuff. We just looking around. And Suge comes out the side office with this white guy. He's talking to him, writing some stuff down. And the homie said, that's this nigga right there, man. Bring that nigga to me. And my big homie Green, I said, come here, nigga. And Suge looked and said, yo, I got to take care of something. And he made a beeline towards the elevators. You know what you like, power walking?
Mm-hmm. So
he realized he wasn't going to make it on the elevators. And he hit the stairs, and we chased him up the stairs, bro. I'm right behind him. And
Big Suge.
Big Suge, bro. This is 1993. Facts.
Yes, sir.
Legs off right now. Huh?
Say yes, sir. Yes, sir.
So we chasing him up the hallway, Interscope Records, till he's trying to get to Death Row to his floor where, you know, his bodyguards is at. So I'm behind him, and I'm like, come here, nigga. And I told you I gotta do something. But he's trying to get to that office. So my G homie I said, Stretch, don't let that nigga in one of them doors and close that door on us. I'm like right on his heels. And I'm like, check it out. Nigga hurt. You know, I'm trying to stop you, won't stop. I'm behind him. I'm like, come here, nigga. So he tried to, when he grabbed the door to go in, I kind of like hit him with the OG clip with the foot. Boom! He stumbles up in the office and startled everybody in there. But the door didn't close. I was right behind him, bust the door open. And all the bodyguards in there, maybe 15, 20 deep. They're like, Suge, what's up? What's up? What's up? He's like, I don't know, man. These niggas talking about I gotta go talk to their homeboy. And my G homie Green Eyes stepped into the nigga's face like this and said, nigga, I'm OG Green Eyes. Nigga, you finna go down here and talk to Carlo. What Suge didn't know at that time was that my homeboy Green Eyes was a five-star general on the council under UBN, which is prison, you know. Yeah, so several of them dudes that was in there was his comrades, and they was up under him. So usually anybody come up in there, they gonna maul you. So when they didn't move like you usually do, Suge knew, oh, these niggas must be somebody. Because my homie said, nigga, this. I told him, this nigga finna go down here and talk to Carlos. Let's go, chap. And we escorted him back downstairs. white folks and everybody. Oh, it's funny. Snoop pulls up in a limo. He didn't even get out in the underground parking. He seen all of us in the underground parking. He stayed in a limo. So, Suge goes and he talked to the homeboy, and a half a million dollar check was signed to Harry O, bro. You know what I'm saying? And that's you know, true story facts. Now, I say about a few weeks later, we was at the Summer Jam backstage. We was backstage, me and my homie Green Eyes with, and it's me, Green Eyes. We was with Mike Conception, my brother Lil Stretch, Top Dog, Big Wives, a couple more people, right? And me and my homie snuck off to go smoke, you know? So we've been dipped in the cut. Got the backstage passes on. Now, we hadn't seen Suge since this. I didn't even find out this was Suge until like a week later. Suge and Heron is coming up the back way, and Suge is on the phone. He see us, and he say, let me call you right back. But before they get close, the homie say, you know that is Stretch. I said, yeah, that's Suge. He walk up and he say, what's up, Big Green Eyes? What's up, Stretch? He said, I want to fuck with you and your homeboy. And he gave us some money. And then about a couple weeks later, my brother ended up signing with Death Row.
Damn. Gotcha. So like, like, you know, you've been a prison. You've been a prison, and you know what I'm saying? Like, some of you, like, you was talking about, like, the UBN. You got the UBN on the East Coast. Is the UBN similar to on the East Coast what it is on the West?
They all connected. It's all one entity. You got UBNs, you got BLs, but I won't go into, you know, the politics because that's their thing. You know, I'm not a part of none of them, you know, but... yeah, they all connected. It's one way up, but you know, yeah, it's all function. It's all together. You know, from
gotcha.
My understanding. But like, I'm not a part of that.
You had a relationship. You had a relationship with Stevie J, right? Stevie J at the time he was signing Bad Boy. Like, was that some type of conflict of interest, or brother being signed at Death Row?
You know, actually, Big Dog, I've only been friends with Stevie J a short time. I met him through another friend, and him and I became, you know, close, and I do a little security work for him here and there, you know, but we are good friends. You know, actually, he was texting me this morning, you know what I'm saying? We FaceTime, we chop it up, you know, Stevie's a good dude, but it had nothing to do with that, you know what I'm saying?
Gotcha. So like, you know, when it comes down to, you know, you being from Nickerson Gardens, like, you're from Nickerson Gardens, and what's the relationship with the industry in Nickerson Gardens? Because it's like, it's a long relationship, ain't it?
You said the relationship with the Nickersons and who?
In the industry, music industry.
Well, I wouldn't say go on saying that. I would say this, though. The Nickersons been known to have been, you know, dealing with a lot of different artists. You know, they like to come back there. They like to see the projects. And they met a lot of real homies and got connected with them, you know. It's a few artists that used to come to the projects, you know. Juvie, Lil Wayne, you know, BG, you know, Baby them that came, you know. You know, the homies, they got a few people, you know what I'm saying? They, you know, my homie probably had rest in peace. He used to have Rick Ross and a couple other cats, you know? So, there's been a lot of connections on that level, but not as far as, you know. Actually, let me take that back. Top Dog, that's my homie's name, dude, but that's Top Dog. He been in the music industry for a while. You know, I remember back when we first started, you know, and, there was a few groups in our neighborhood, actually. Juvenile Committee did a few songs with DJ Quick, and got a few, you know, few groups. But you know, Top took it to another level. You know, we know he ended up getting Kendrick Lamar and, you know, got J-Rock and them, and the rest is history. You feel me on that? So there are some connections. And then Mike Inception, which is Top uncle, you know, which is my partner, man, you know, Mike. Mike did, what was that? He produced, Now We On The Same Gang. He produced a lot of different albums, you know, different music. So there's a somewhat connection, you feel me?
Got you. And then it was a Nicholson Garden Stevie J, though, right? Yeah, it was a Nicholson Garden Stevie J, too, though, right?
I don't know.
It was a Nicholson Garden Stevie J?
Not that I know of.
Oh, I got you.
That I know is the one who, you know, Stevie J from Love and Hip Hop. That's my, you know, acquaintance right there, but I don't know no Stevie J out the projects.
I got you. And like when it comes down to it, like, you know, you hear a lot going on when it comes to Tekashi 6ix9ine, and you got WAC 100. Like, you from out there, you know what I'm saying? You from Nicholson Gardens, you know, you similar to what WAC is. Like, is it some type of, like, is it conversation out there that OGs is having, whether they're with him or against,
you know,
him, as far as his decision?
You know, I'm going to say this, some things, you know, you just don't speak on. I actually was just FaceTiming with WAC 100 not too long ago. I can't speak on what WAC, why he chose to do what he did to talk to dude, you know. He had his own, you know, reasons. And, you know, that's what he chose to do. You know, I can't speak on it one way or the other. Now, me personally, I don't got nothing to say to the dude. You know, he's worldwide known that he, you know, he's a snitch. So, but WAC had his reasons, and, you know, and whatever that may be, that was his choice. You know what I'm saying?
So, no doubt.
You know what I'm saying? That was his choice. You know what I'm saying? Me, you know, WAC is Damu. We both Damus, you know, and in reputable. My name ring bells. You know what I'm saying?
I got you.
It's just like I said, certain things you don't speak on, certain things you just, it is what it is, you feel me?
Like WAC 100, he spoke on, like when he lead the West, you know what I'm saying, he don't consider, like, it ain't the same, like, from California, like the B-Dawgs in California versus, like, in other states. Like, do you feel the same way?
You know, I'm going to say this. Crips and Bloods is you know, we know originated from LA. We set trends. LA set trends. So now you have Crips and Blood nationwide. They're everywhere. Every different hoods is out. You know, you got Bounty Hunters, you got Crips, East Coast, you got all type of different neighborhoods everywhere on the East Coast, Midwest. It's gangsters everywhere. You know, it's killers, niggas everywhere. You know what I'm saying? But as far as the gang is concerned, there's a lot of difference because it was different when we started gangbanging. You know, when it was, you know, I'm saying this right, it was a total different. You know what I'm saying? Gangbanging is different from then and it's You walking up the street, you're gonna get sweated, harassed, chased, shot come through different now. You don't see that as much. You see, you know, it's changed, things change. You know, they in cars, dudes just riding around with guns and whatever. But it's different. You know, but when you gangbang, or your so-called, because when it really come down to it, black on black crime is not what's happening. We not enemies. We make ourselves enemies because we've been indoctrinated with these, you know, these theories. But when it comes down to it, if you are gang banging, right? Which means we didn't socialize with Crips. Man, had one or two that was cool with. We didn't really talk. And on the streets, that was in jail. But on the streets, we get active. You know, it was gang banging. You know, we looking for them, they looking for us. We changing, you know, whatever it may be. It's a different era now. I don't even think a lot of these dudes even know why they gang bang or know what it's for or what it's about. Which really, to be honest, it really was never about nothing. Because we was misguided. You know what I'm saying? This was all part of a design and a plan to keep us divided, bro. You hear what I'm saying?
Yep.
You know, but I'm representative and it's front line, you know. I'm a general from out of my neighborhood, all that, but that was something I grew up in, like I said. But when we young, a lot of us, we don't have our cognitive thinking on. You hear what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And we really don't start to mature until you after 25. You know? And so we was lost, bro. You know? We was doing what they call it, you know, what everybody else is doing. Like I said, peer pressure or whatever you want to call it, influence, you know, was the thing to do because everybody was doing it.
So what I look
back now,
mm-hmm,
and the dollars that I acquired now, if I know what I know now, I would have never gangbanged. I'd have never done a lot of things. You know what I'm saying? Because we need to unify. We up against it from all angles, man. You know what I'm saying? These devils got, they got a hold on us. And until we break that chain and that way of thinking, that's the only way we're going to bring up on the change. And the sad part about it is a lot of the youngsters are so far gone that a lot of them is unreachable. So you have to catch the real youth to be able to set a trend to make a difference in their lives because the future is theirs. And you have to show them the obstacles that they're going to be facing and teach them facts when they're growing up as kids. Teach them unity. Teach them these things. If none of this is being taught within the home, then we're being taught the imperialistic way.
No doubt. So like it's like if it, like with all that you just said, is it like a direct message you want to send to the youth when it comes down to, you know what I'm saying, them having some of the same situations like as far as the upbringing right now in 2021?
I got a few things, man. I like to say, you know, first of all, you know, I've been shot, stabbed, shot again, stabbed, you know, and it ain't fun, but been to prison, I've been to youth authority, I've been to camp, I've been to all the halls, I've been to multiple prisons, you know, in California. And like I said, I just did 25 straight. However, what I want to say to the youth is that, you know, that's not the way to go because we think it's cool. You know what I'm saying? And then the older cats is not really lacing the youngsters. They're not talking to them. And if they are, they're not engaging them right. You know what I'm saying? And so they are receptive. But I'm saying to the youngsters, man, you know, that you gotta educate yourself, get your mind right. We're not enemies. We kin. We family. And so we have to teach this to the youngsters, man. Prison is not the place to be. You know, it's a better way, man. You know what I'm saying? Get money. You know, the black on black, that shit ain't about nothing. You know what I'm saying? At all times, I said, man must defend himself. But because of a color, or because you live over here, you know, but it all boils down to the parenting, bro. And see, if the parents don't know what to teach the kids, then the streets will. So that's what happens with most of us in our neighborhoods in the black communities. And the reason that happens is because this style of parenting has been passed on from generation to generation since the time of slavery.
these indoctrinations was passed on, the Willie Lynch theory, all of this was done. So, you know, I feel like most black parents, we should homestead our kids first. Can we pick this back up, Big Dog? Because I'm really, I'm at an event right now.
Yeah, yeah, no, no doubt, no doubt, man. We appreciate you touching down with us and giving us some type of insight, you know what I'm saying, on what's going on and how OG's coming home. Just one more thing, though, like, you know, you're doing 25 years, you know what I'm saying, straight. Like you said, like, what was one of the biggest things that you might have missed the most, like, you know what I'm saying, besides family?
You know, Pac said we never fear in this world, but being outside a cage, you know, just being able to, you know, go and eat something that you like. Going to you know, just being able to walk when you want and not having anybody just, you know, like I said, we still not completely free. But I miss being able to just do what I want when I want, you know, being able to walk outside, look at the trees and breathe and, you know, take a walk or go to the store. You know, the smaller things and that you start to appreciate, you know, when you were in that place. You know, and that's another subject we could talk about, you know what I'm saying, when we get back on, man, you know, the prison system. The youngsters need to hear it, you know what I'm saying? And people need to know what's going on up in there.
Absolutely.
I walked in and I did a lot, you know. I went to all, like I said, mostly all the prisons. How you doing, Big Dog?
Pretty good.
Yes, sir. I've been to multiple prisons, man. You know, probably over 15, 20 prisons in my life, you know, transferring from prison to prison. And it's a hellhole, bro. You know, I was doing this 25 years. I didn't know if I was going to come home. I didn't know if I was going to make it out of there, if I was going to, you know, catch another case up in there or get killed. You know, this is prison. So, like I tell these youngsters, man, that ain't where you want to go. You lose your mind up in there, man. You can't be yourself. But
no, I appreciate that though, man. Blessings, OG. Appreciate that, man. We're definitely gonna talk about it, man.
Yeah, I got some other things we can talk about, man. Some real shit, you know. So we get back home when it's good. I got some at this event right now, and we finna do this little pain sip thing.
Yes sir, man. Appreciate you.
Yes, sir. Much love to the peoples, man.
Love.
100.
100.
Give up all that gangster shit. Hear that. Clack, 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 clack. On my day one, never. A lot of niggas prayed on my